Talk Shoe.
Recorded live.
Hello and welcome to PodCamp podcast episode number 11. I'm Connie Crosby and we also have Sean McGaughy. Sean, are you there?
I'm here. Hi, Connie.
Hi. So we have a few people today in the chat room. We're just waiting. Hopefully we'll have one other call in at least and we'll take it away from there. I guess first up we wanted to talk about a little more about the contest that we mentioned last week.
Yes, it's been officially announced now that FreshBooks and Yahoo are sponsoring a contest to send, I believe it's 3 lucky PodCampers to the Toronto Marlies Hamilton Bulldogs game next Sunday, February 24th at 4 p.m. What you need to do is, because we are, of course, a media community, create a promo for the Marlies, or maybe a video promo, I don't know. Post it to your blog, or if you're at PodCamp, make sure you get it to the organizing committee before 5 p.m. next Saturday. And a committee comprised of representatives from FreshBooks, Yahoo, and our own Tommy Valier from PodCamp will be judging them, and 3 lucky people get to go to the Marlies game next Saturday afternoon. Next Sunday afternoon,
That's right. And we'll be announcing that at PodCamp on Sunday, who the winners are. So you'll want to be there for that. So, and I think Tommy is so excited. He's one of the organizers, so he can't win. I think he said he was buying a ticket to the game just so he could go. So he's pretty psyched about it.
So you guys want to hang out
with Tommy, yeah.
Yeah, I think Tommy's going, and I think some people from FreshBooks and Yahoo are going too.
Yeah, so that'll be really a lot of fun, actually. Yep, oh yeah, Tommy's in the chat. He says, I'm going to be going too. So he's psyched about that. And thank you very much to Tommy and to Sunir Shah at FreshBooks who helped put that together. We're very excited about that.
Yes, that's quite wonderful.
Now, I understand you have an exclusive interview that you recorded. Tell me about that.
Oh, yes. I was a featured interview on the Source Daily Source Code with Adam Curry talking about PodCamp Toronto.
Oh, excellent.
Now, you're going to say, well, how do you score on that high profile a podcast? How do you score an interview? And that's, you say that it's exclusive and you say that it's a feature interview. Actually, what happened was Adam was testing out TalkShoe yesterday.
Yeah.
To see if he could do the daily source code as a live show. And he just sent one tweet out, and within 10 minutes, there were 70 listeners in the TalkShoe room.
Yeah.
And he was just looking down the list, and he says, hey, duct tape guy, where are you from? And I said, I'm from Midland, Ontario, Canada, and I'm an organizer of PodCamp Toronto next weekend. Then he called me a big nerd or a big geek or something, and that was the exclusive interview. There's no bad press.
There's no bad press. Get your name out there. You're good. Excellent. Yeah, you wanted to mention other blog and podcast coverage as well.
Yes, I did. I just noticed Nick M. from Blaster.tv just joined us in the chat room. And Nick M. has been very good on his podcast about promoting PodCamp Toronto. And he had me on a few weeks ago. I know we've been played on 6 Pixels of Separation. I know John Meadows over at On the Log has promoted the PodCamp, I think, in every episode that he's produced thus far. Daniela Rossi gave us a good shout out this weekend on his Stuttering is Cool podcast and on his Spudcast. How am I doing?
Excellent.
Where else have you heard PodCamp talked up?
I haven't been listening a lot this week, I have to admit. I've been running around doing other things. So, yeah. I'm trying to think where else I've heard,
I know that they've been talking it up, of course, on the Canadian Podcast Buffet, and Bob Goyette and Mark Levis are coordinating the Zero to Podcasting panel or track at PodCamp.
Oh, yeah,
I know
Keith, Keith Dister is in the chat room, is reminding us, CC Chapman reminded us, promoted it, and Joseph Jaffe on Jaffe Juice. Actually, I have to admit, I took part this past week with Eden Spodek in My Uvu Day, which was a new video chat tool, and we took part in a session with Joseph Jaffe, and we talked about PodCamp then. So, yeah, actually, I have heard it mentioned. Oh, and Marketing Over Coffee. See, Keith, you should be on the call.
And also Peter O'Connell, Vox Marketizing. And Peter O'Connell is, in fact, one of our sponsors, and he produced one of the PodCamp Toronto promos, probably the one that's being played all over the place. It was great, all the voices, and just to hear how a pro would interpret to promote PodCamp was really cool.
Yeah.
It's also been on Black Shadow with Steve Saylor and on the Yonder Man podcast. And, I'm missing a ton.
Yeah.
Oh, the D's cast, of course, Bill D's. So we've been getting lots of press, both lots of coverage, both within the podcasting community and without. We've had some a new sponsor, in fact. CNW, Canadian Newswire, and they have sponsored several press releases.
Yes,
and we also had a press release out on PR Web. So we've been getting a fair bit of press coverage through the press releases, and I really want to thank CNW for stepping up and providing the press releases they have.
That's right. And we've just got a few people joining us in the call as well. Hello to everybody else who has joined us. And if you can call in, we'd love you to call in. The number, go ahead.
Oh, sorry. Keith just pointed out that Twitter is, of course, a great promoter of PodCamp. Keith, please dial in. We'd love to have you in on this call.
So it's not just Sean and I talking to each other today.
And what was that number, Connie?
Yeah, to dial in, it's 1-724-444-7444. You enter the call ID 14385 number sign, and then if you don't have a PIN number set up already with TalkShoe, you can dial in with one number sign or two number sign, I believe. And what we're doing is we're recording for the PodCamp Toronto podcasting community, and we will be posting this show to our blog in the next day or two. Yes, Tommy's confirming it. Number one is the guest call. So you can call in with one and number sign to be a guest if you haven't signed up for the TalkShoe software. And we're finding, actually, how are you finding this platform, Sean, compared to us recording the way we were before to your machine?
Well, I'm getting used to flying without a net. We can't go back and edit and change things, and that's a little bit of a scary feeling. But I really like the interaction from other people, and I really like the fact that there's an MP3 produced almost instantly after the show's done, and all we have to do is post it. It's really cut down my post-production work. I know that technically the sound quality isn't as good as I can produce on a Skype-to-Skype call with you, But that's just an issue that of what TalkShoe is, and TalkShoe basically is a phone-to-phone connector, so we get phone line quality.
Okay, so that explains why I sound clearer when we were recording directly, even though we were still using Skype. I'm using Skype to call into TalkShoe right now, and it does, to me, when I listen back, it sounds kind of fuzzy.
Well, it's because we were basically downgrading our signal to phone line quality.
Okay. Okay. Nick is saying he records locally on his computer and then uploads that to TalkShoe. That's interesting how he does that. Now I think we may have Keith on the line. Hello, Keith.
Can you guys hear me?
Yeah, that sounds good. You can hear him, Shawnee.
Yeah. Hello, Keith.
Hi, how are you?
Good. Do you want to introduce yourself? Tell us where you are and what you do.
Well, I'm Keith Burtis. Just started a blog about 6 months ago and got involved with the whole social media community, and I'm loving it. I'm out of the Buffalo, New York area, about 15 minutes out of the city in a suburb, and I'm coming to PodCamp Toronto next weekend to get engaged on Friday night.
Wonderful. That's just, and I understand you have a social media story about your engagement.
Well, I've been making regular payments on the engagement ring that I am purchasing for my girlfriend, and I kind of figured the whole thing out to the T, to where I could use PodCamp Toronto as a way to divert attention away from just taking a trip and her kind of knowing that, oh, we're taking a trip, maybe he's going to do it this weekend. And I had some big-time car problems that cost me a bunch of money, so I still needed a way to get to work, obviously, every day. So I decided if I could add value to the social media or social community that I've developed online already, that I could kind of work my butt off, which I have been doing for the last 3 or 4 days, turning wood on my lathe and turning bowls and wine stoppers, and today I put up some pin cushions that myself and my mother made, and try to raise enough money to get me back on track for Friday night, asking her to marry me. So, cool. I did, and it's been great.
That's just touching. Yeah.
Everyone's
wonderful.
And it's been really nice.
Yeah. I know every time
I'm just wondering. So you've posted this on your blog, and it's been Twittered all about, and you're now on a podcast. I'm assuming that your fiance, your girlfriend, is not particularly involved in social media.
No, she's a math teacher, and I've talked to her about it, and part of the reason I wanted to kind of take her down there was to she could go to a couple of the sessions. Just to kind of get an idea of what this is all about, I started listening to Jaffe Juice about 6 months ago, and I heard his, he did a iPhone for an episode, and I was like, wow, this is really cool, and what a neat community, and, you know, she doesn't get it yet, but until you're involved, you really don't get it until you're involved, so, and luckily enough, she's not reading the blogs, and she's not social media yet, so this kind of opportune for me.
Yes, for sure. We keep it on the sly by publishing it to the world. Well, while she's down there, I know there are a number of educators who will be at PodCamp and who can talk to her about some of the ways you can use these tools in education. I'm one of those.
One of the ways that I know that she could really benefit from it is she's a pretty highly regarded teacher in her district, and she takes care of a lot of the really specialty cases in terms of math, and she does a lot of tutoring, but she also works with, you know, kids that have developmental issues and you know, kids that are basically coming to school with knives in their pockets, and I just know that there's days where if she could come home and talk to somebody else who deals with the same types of issues, that it would probably make a big difference for her.
I'm just looking through the sessions that we have lined up. I don't see anything specifically this year on podcasting or social media for education. So I think that's definitely an area that if anyone wants to step up to the plate and head something up on that, that would be great. I'm sure there would be a need for that, considering there are going to be a number of educators there this time around.
I'm hoping next year to do a technology in the arts.
That would be great. Yeah. The what I was gonna say, Keith, is I've had a look at all of the woodwork that you have posted and the bowls and everything on your site, and every time I look through, they seem to almost all be sold. It's amazing. You've already got takers for a lot of them.
Yeah, actually, Joe Jaffe and CC Chat both ordered ahead of time, as well as Connie Reese, and I wanted to get those up as well, and so these things can take a couple hours or so to make, depending on, really a lot of times, depending on the piece of wood that I'm working with. They can be a little bit temperamental. So basically yesterday was almost three quarters of my production day was just filling orders that hadn't even been made yet.
Oh, wow. Oh, so that explains why.
Yeah, so.
They look beautiful, though. They look very beautiful.
But the first few literally only took a couple of hours to disappear.
Well, that's great. And I said earlier in the chat, Keith, it's my anniversary next weekend, so count me in for one of those bowls.
Beautiful. I will absolutely do that, and I thank you. I've been thanking people for days, and I can't thank anyone enough. I guess I really can't even put it. I really can't.
Well, I think this your story has captured people's imagination, and it just reminds us that with all the social media, that there are real people behind all the names on Twitter and in the blogs and in the podcasts, and that there are real stories happening.
And that's a real. Oh, sorry, Keith.
No, go ahead, Sean.
That's one of the real lessons that we can learn is that. Social media friends, I say that Friendsters can be kind of imaginary. And so that's the importance of PodCamp, is we get together and we get to actually physically meet the people behind the Twitter posts and behind the blog posts and the podcast. And something about really physically getting together cements that community.
Absolutely. I'm actually a pretty spiritual guy, and I'm into a little bit of the metaphysics, and they talk about how you almost become the five people that you hang around with the most. And I'm in kind of a unique situation, I guess, compared to most people I know, where I can listen to podcasts for sometimes 13, 14 hours a day, because my job is such that it doesn't require me to be answering phones or whatever. I'm either turning wood or I'm making cabinets, and to be quite honest, the cabinet business doesn't usually have a lot of people that are really educational or have any goals in life. So when I'm listening to these, it's almost as though I'm spending time with everyone that's podcasting while I'm doing my work, and it really gets me through the day, and it really makes me feel good, and I'm always happy.
And one thing I discovered when I started listening to podcasts and a real conversation between people is that the radio just doesn't cut it anymore.
I turned my television off 2 months ago. When I started really getting into podcasting, I don't even need TV anymore.
Wow. That's great. One thing I was going to mention was we were talking about meeting people face-to-face, is for Friday and Saturday night at PodCamp, we're leaving it open for informal meetups, and we've opened up a page now on the wiki for anyone. The wiki is at podcamptoronto.org, and you can go to, there is a page called Evening Meetups, I believe it's called. Let me just find that page so I can look at it. And you can post if there's somewhere you want to go.
And in fact, I know Jay Muna has been busy. He added a Google map to the meetup page, and he's been adding all sorts of interesting sites to the map.
Yeah, I'm just having a look at that. He's got his. So that's who posted that. I wondered who would put that up. That's great. And you can add your pics to the map as well if you have suggestions. And then use that page there. Go ahead. So that's going to be get that going and get people organized. I believe I should be around like Friday evening and Saturday as well, both evenings. So if anyone has questions or anything or wants to meet up with me, that would be great. I think people will also be organizing themselves using Twitter as well. The other thing we wanted to mention was, I don't think we've mentioned it in a past podcast, is the Mentor Lounge. Sean, can you give us an idea what the Mentor Lounge is?
I've never heard of it myself.
There you go.
Tommy Valier, who's on the chat here, I'm echoing back through someone's speakers. I don't know who.
Oh.
Tommy Valier has set up a Mentor Lounge, and I believe it's going to be happening on... Tommy just said on the chat, in fact, darn, I should have called in for that. We can move on to another subject, Tommy, and come back to this if you would like to mention it in person. Tommy's going to call in and do a much better job than I am.
Okay.
So, Connie.
Give me a minute. So, yes, Sean.
We have almost 20 sponsors who are quite grateful are footing the bill for PodCamp so that we can have a free conference.
That's right.
And so I've got the list of sponsors lined up, and we're just going to go through them because there's a great deal of them. But great companies, 5890 Incorporated, an internet marketing company, the Blueberry Podcasting Network, and they seem to have been disemboweled.
No E's in Blueberry, yep.
No E's in Blueberry. Commotion is a sponsor. Harlequin Books, in particular, their E-Harlequin series, is sponsoring PodCamp. And I know they actually have a couple of Harlequin podcasts for people who are interested in hearing podcasts by their favorite romance novelists.
Can I throw one in there, guys?
Sure.
Harlequin is in my backyard, basically.
Oh, wonderful.
Wow. That's pretty cool. I mean, they I remember when they built their facility here. It's just outside of Buffalo, but they're pretty local.
FreshBooks has been quite active as a sponsor, both with some sponsorship dollars and with promoting the FreshBooks Toronto Marlies hockey contest.
Right.
So it's great to have them on board. Marketing Over Coffee has not just mentioned us, but they have sponsored. I should mention that TalkShoe is a sponsor, and that's not why we're using the TalkShoe platform as our podcast. It's because it had the features we needed to do this live. Shadow and James Show is a sponsor, and I'm really disappointed to tell people that unfortunately Jim and Christina will not be able to be at PodCamp.
I've been trying to talk Christina into coming. I think Jim's work got, or something anyway, library related, got in the way. So it's too bad. They're good friends of mine, and I'm sorry that they won't be there. I'm trying to twist Christina's arm to come out. So, Christina, you have to come if the weather's okay. Anyway, sorry.
Well,
go ahead.
Sure, you got to see if you got value out of your sponsorship.
That's right.
We really appreciate it anyway. Thornleigh Fallis and 76 Design are a sponsor. Joe Thornleigh, I believe, is coming, and a number of the people from Thornleigh Fallis are coming. I don't believe Terry Fallis is. Two Cows is also a sponsor. And I know James Cool from Two Cows is doing a session, I believe, if I recall. I'd have to look at the sessions page.
I don't have them mesmerized yet.
I think I remember that from the last podcast.
Yeah.
Wait and See Incorporated and Wildfire Strategic Marketing are also sponsoring. We want to thank Peter O'Connell again of Audio O'Connell for the PodCamp Toronto promo. Wild Apricot are sending, I'm not sure if it's a person or people, over all day Saturday to help man the registration desk. So we really want to thank Wild Apricot because they're the people you're going to be seeing when you walk in the door. And I don't know if Tommy's here yet, but the Limestone New Media Group. Oh, Tommy is here.
Yep.
Thank you, Tommy. The Limestone New Media Group is a proud sponsor of PodCamp, and
We're providing 500 PodCamp Toronto stickers.
Wonderful.
Cool.
That's great.
A little bit of PodCamp Toronto swag.
Excellent. You heard it here first.
And we already mentioned earlier the CNW group has provided some media coverage for us, 3 press releases. BlogTO has been providing media coverage, and One Degree.
So thank you very much to all of our sponsors. We really appreciate it. And give them a hand. Thank you very much. Now, Tommy's on the line. We should get him to tell us about the Mentor Lounge.
Tommy's on the line from his basement because his wife's asleep, so he's trying to be quiet. And she's in his basement with cold feet at the moment. But the Mentor Lounge is happening Saturday afternoon, I believe, the last 2 sessions of the day. What the plan is, and the sign-up page will go up tomorrow with full details, so this is kind of breaking on the podcast here. The Mentor Lounge is going to be divided into 6 or 7 mini slots, each consisting of 15 or so minutes. And we're going to see if we can't find some experts to sign up for kind of more one-on-one presentationless help. So we'll have somebody who does a lot of blogging, for example, who can be there to answer blogging questions. And somebody who does audio production to help with audio questions and marketing and so on. So we want to kind of make an open forum, but, you know, in smaller chunks where people don't have to feel afraid to approach someone and ask them their questions.
That's fantastic. And it really speaks to the community nature of the event, that we will have some notable experts in a number of areas of new media who are quite willing to share their time with people who have questions.
Yeah, and one of the things, I mean, I've been to several podcasts and several other types of events, and one of the things I see on a regular basis is somebody new to the environment getting incredibly timid as soon as they are at an event like this. They're scared to go up to even to one of the 3 of us or 4 of us at this point that are on the call. They're scared to approach them and say, "Hi, how are you doing that?" Or even to say, you know, "Hi, my name is Tommy." Like, they're just afraid to approach someone. So the idea behind the Mentor Lounge is to try to at least tear down that barrier and bring a bunch of people together who are all either interested in learning about the topic or know something about the topic, and kind of make an open discussion group for it.
That's great. I think that's a fantastic idea. That's something that you, I think, had heard of, or an idea that came out from another PodCamp that you had attended, and you sort of have run with that to organize us with that. So I think that's a great idea.
Yeah, I spotted it first at PodCamp Pittsburgh, so I want to give them the credit for the naming and the original concept. I think I've kind of refined it a little since then for PodCamp Toronto, and hopefully, I mean, in the nature of PodCamp, right, we learn from our mistakes as a community and we go forward as a community. So we've taken the idea from Pittsburgh, and hopefully my refinements will help New York or D.C. or Ohio or Pittsburgh in the fall If they want to run something similar at their event, they can learn from whatever mistakes I make in my attempts to refine the Pittsburgh idea, and we'll kind of grow it into something that works well.
That's great. And we should move on to talk about the schedule. I've had some people ask me, when will there be a schedule for PodCamp posted? Sean, can you explain how that works with the schedule?
Well, as with all parts of our unconference, it's done over our wiki. Yesterday, Jay Muna published a blank schedule on the wiki, and anyone who's presenting a session or anyone who has an idea for the session, go over to the schedule page of the wiki and add your session to your preferred time slot. We have a number of rooms. We actually have three rooms that hold about 50 people, one that's a little larger that holds around 75 people, and then there's also the Zero to Podcasting sessions that are going to be in a separate room all weekend. And just jump in there and pick your best time.
And a number of sessions have already been posted, so it'll give people an idea. And I don't know how many we have left still to post. It looks like maybe about half or two-thirds are there, so we've got a few more to go in. But roughly it's going to run from 9 a.m. registration opens up, and then our orientation and opening is at 10 a.m. It goes on Saturday till about 5:15. Sunday we start up again at 10 a.m., and it runs again till about 5:15 will be the closing remarks and wrap-up. We should be finishing about that time to give people an idea if you're planning ahead.
And just to highlight, now that I've got the page open, some of the sessions that are happening, first thing Saturday morning at 10:45, Chris Brogan, one of the founders of PodCamp, is doing a session on social media and networking starter guide. He's gearing it towards business and the professionals, but I'm sure Chris is a social media expert, and there will be something for everybody. And I know Chris wants to do a couple of things in the morning and the afternoon, because he actually has to fly out Saturday afternoon. He's got another engagement in Las Vegas later on in the weekend. So he'll only be with us for Friday evening and a bit of Saturday. Connie.
Go ahead.
Tommy, you're doing one, Living on the Cloud and How You Use Almost All Online Applications to Organize Your Life and to Do Everything You Do, and I think that really intrigues me.
I'll be glued into that one, Tommy.
I'm starting to wonder if I should book it in a larger room.
I like how we've got all of Tommy's sessions in one room. It's the Tommy Valier stream, room 257 right now. I should mention that one session has been added. Mm-hmm. Go ahead.
I was intentionally booking my two sessions in one room just so that I could get a feel for the room. And Adele McAleer, booked the Twitter panel in the same room, quote, so that I didn't have to move. Based on the feedback on the cloud session, I might actually have to move the cloud session from the 50-person room to the 75-person room.
Yeah.
It could be. I know I book my own sessions in the same room. My sessions are all in 359. And one of the things I did is we're doing an open audiobook production panel. And we have that scheduled right after the HarperCollins panel. And I did that sort of on purpose, because I'm sure there will be people that want to go to both. And I know the HarperCollins panel will be more from the business side. And the people we have on the panel I'm facilitating are do-it-yourselfers and hobbyists. So we'll just see.
One thing I want to mention is...
Go ahead, Connie.
One thing I wanted to mention was one session has been added. Dave Fleet has posted, I think today he posted, Social Media in a Disaster, and he's going to be using examples from the 2007 California wildfires to show you how organizations can use social media tools to communicate in an emergency. So that sounds like an interesting session, actually. Let's see what else we have on the roster.
And also, throughout Zero to Podcasting, we'll be doing their sessions on starting from scratch to having a podcast, and they have sort of an interesting mix of scheduled sessions interspersed with just wide open circle discussions, which will be really interesting. And for all of these things, we haven't mentioned this much on the podcast, for any of these sessions, one of the fundamental principles of PodCamp is the law of 2 feet, and that is, if you're not getting anything out of the session you're in, there's no shame in leaving the room and going somewhere where you will find what you need.
That's right. So I have a question for Keith while he's on the line here.
Sure.
Keith, it sounds like you know the schedule fairly well. Is there something in particular that you're looking forward to in the sessions that we have lined up?
Well, I'm definitely looking forward to Sean's audiobook session. That's actually what got me into podcasting. I mean, just buying audiobooks all the time for, like I say, for doing my work, and I kind of like to kill two birds with one stone. If I can learn something and work at the same time, it's great. But I don't know, Sean, if you're going to address this, but what about the monetization aspect of podcasting and the fact that the audiobooks and podcasting really do kind of share a same vertical?
I don't know if we're going to directly address it, because I actually come from the free culture side of things. I work with LibriVox.org, producing public domain audiobooks and releasing them into the public domain.
Right.
Although I have recorded a book that is on Podiobooks.com. It was a book my brother-in-law wrote. And there is a bit of a monetization aspect to Podiobooks. And the way that works is people can donate. There's a tip jar available on Podiobooks.com. And
sure.
The authors actually get 75% of the tip jar, and the other 25% goes to Podiobooks. So that's one way. And we're finding that people who are producing Podio books can also self-publish through Lulu.com and then have a paper copy of the book available. And there are opportunities for monetization. The way I've been approaching it, both for myself and for my brother-in-law, who I recorded this book as a gift to sort of help him build a name. And that's what it's doing. It's building an audience. It's building a market for him so that in the future, when his future novels come out, he will have a market.
Absolutely. I think that integration is excellent. I've listened to, I've really only listened to one whole novel, and that was J.C. Hutchins' Seventh Son. And I know now he's experienced tons of different opportunities, and I guess it's that whole law of reciprocation. You put it out there and you give it away, and it'll all come back to you at some point.
And I'm sure you are experiencing that too to a smaller degree right now with your social media miracle. You are producing a lovely handcrafted product.
But absolutely.
Certainly the Twitter buzz that you've been getting the past week is really helping build a market for your bowls.
Yeah, I really have to thank a lot of people. I mean, even Eden Spodek and Joseph Jaffe, they featured me on their blogs, and that was really nice. And it's just been great. But as far as any other things that I want to see, I think I'm going to be pasted in that A to Z for podcasting, because that's definitely something I really think to throw out there and add to the community. If people were interested in seeing how I did this stuff, I mean, I'm for my social media miracle, I've been taking still shots of every basic aspect of how I go through this with each bowl, and it's taken some extra time extra time that I wouldn't normally take, you know, when I make a bowl. But I want to give people a little background of how this is actually done and what goes through my mind in the artistic process. And I think if I could set up a camera or have someone helping me out, it would be a pretty neat podcast.
This old bowl.
That's great.
One of the things I discovered was when I started to get into podcasting, and it was sort of through LibriVox, I learned the audio skills through recording audiobooks. But when I started to get into podcasting, I was a guy who always wanted to have a show. So I have a show. What I didn't understand, it was wholly unexpected, is to have a show is an entry into a community. It's a community of media creators and social media people. And in fact, Tommy and I had a wonderful, mind-blowing conversation about this at PAB. And really, what's important about the fact that I have a show and I'm a part of a community is turn it around. I'm a part of a community. Oh, and I have a show.
Right, absolutely. Absolutely. And you can, you know, you have a little bit of clout or listenership that you can help others in spots where they need it and vice versa. And it's just I love the community aspect of it. Someone could be in Australia and you can feel like you're next door to them.
Well, I think one of the last things we want to talk about today is tips on what to bring to PodCamp, especially if you haven't been to PodCamp before. John, what do you tend to bring to PodCamp?
Well, I know I'm working on a new business card, and that's just really a way of, I know I'm horrible with names when I meet people. It takes me a while to attach faces to names, even if I've talked to you several times. I've got coworkers in the building I work with that I mess up their names. So business card is one. I'll have a lot of gear with me. I'm going to bring my recorder and I'm going to bring my laptop because I do plan to do sort of a man on the street at the event, little interviews and stuff that I'll post throughout the day. And I know you're going to be live blogging, Connie.
If I can get wireless, yeah, I probably will be. I think I did.
Yeah, I know.
Didn't I? Yeah.
Yeah, I know. I believe there's wireless throughout the building. Now there has been some discussion at these conferences about people who bring their laptops and all their gear and sort of separate themselves from the community that's going on all around them. And I know that's a hazard. But we are a tech geek kind of crowd. And a lot of the conversation does go on online. People are posting Flickr pictures all the time, and people are tweeting and live blogging. So some of the conversation, even though we'll be in the same building, will be happening in the cloud. So
I shouldn't have any problem getting a laptop across the border, should I?
No,
I don't know. That could be interesting.
I just know how freaky they're getting lately. I mean,
The Canadian government is pretty cool with it, but the American government has been known to seize them and search through everything on your laptop.
I'm assuming that you're driving up.
I'm driving in, yeah.
Yeah, they're a lot less picky by land than they are by air.
That's good to know.
That's good. And I've got a few deliveries to make, of course, one to you, Tommy. Hoping they're not going to give me a problem getting wood across. It's not, they're not huge, but hopefully they'll have a problem with them
because they're finished product. Like if you were bringing in, you know, slabs of wood, I think you'd be questioned a lot more harshly than bringing in bowls and wine plugs.
Right. So, yeah, hopefully I won't have any problem. Hopefully they'll just wave me through and have a nice weekend.
I think the business card idea that Sean pointed out is an important one, because what I've seen happen is people get asked for, you know, their email addresses and links to their podcasts or their websites, and you end up with people ripping apart pieces of paper and writing it down for everybody. So if you can coordinate something in advance of getting to PodCamp and just have, even if it's a homemade card that you've printed up or written out or whatever, just so you can hand them out when people ask you, it will actually save you some time during the day. So that's just one idea anyway. Some people actually...
Yeah, I stand while we're on...
Yep. Sorry, Tommy, go ahead.
I'll jump in. One thing I found when it comes to business cards, and I did this for PodCamp Ottawa, is I actually just created a simple page on my blog that was, I believe it was, I used connect.tommyvalley.com or something. And so my business cards in PodCamp Ottawa simply said, "Hi, I'm Tommy, want to keep in touch," and then the website address I created. So, I mean, a business card is really, really small space for you to list your blog, your podcast, your Facebook, your Twitter, your MySpace, your LinkedIn, your Pounce, your Flickr, your Twitter. I'm sure I'm missing a bunch of them. But,
yeah. That is a,
you know,
that's
it's a really small space for that.
Yeah.
So just, yeah.
And in fact, I had a situation last year. I had a business card made up last year, but I was still sticking with who needs a stinking domain? There's free tools all over the world. And so I had a business card that was just stuffed full of, oh, you can see my LibriVox books here and the book I did on podiobooks.com here and my WordPress blog is here and my personal website for my music is here and so on and so forth. Andy Walker of cyberwalker.ca, and he's been on Tech TV, and he's got Lab Rats is his video podcast. He took one look at my business card and he said, "Dude, you need a domain." So that actually, right after PodCamp, I set up ducktapeguy.net.
I guess another type of promotional item is the sticker. Tommy, you mentioned PodCamp stickers earlier. Are you bringing other types of stickers as well?
I'm not. I'm just bringing the PodCamp stickers.
Okay.
I hummed and hawed over the option of a Limestone Media Group sticker or even a Tommy Valley or a TalkShoe sticker, but the only stickers I'm bringing are PodCamp. I'm bringing TalkShoe pens.
Okay. Well, probably, I think we're going to have likely a table at PodCamp where if people do bring stickers along, they can probably leave them there. Of course, they're welcome to hand them out if they want to promote their shows. That's something that tends to get done.
Well, yeah, for sure. I know I like getting promo material and swag at this kind of conference, but it's sort of wide open there. We'll just have a couple of tables set up for people to put their stuff on.
As a newbie, guys, I have a question. Is there a formal registration table once you come in?
Yes, there is.
There will be a registration table. As you come in, you'll be cleared through. You'll be checked off the list of people who have pre-registered. If you haven't pre-registered, you can register at the door.
Gotcha. Okay, yeah, I'm all pre-registered. So.
And
yeah.
Basically, the formalities of registration are to check you off the list and to give you a name tag so that when I walk up to you, I can say, "Oh, hi, Keith."
I was wondering about that because I'm like you, Sean. I can't remember names all the time. I'm doing pretty good lately with all the new people I'm meeting, but I'm sure once the whole whirlwind hits, I'll just forget everything.
One thing I recommend people bring to PodCamp, and this is from my own experience, bring a small notepad and a pen and a big notepad, and if you'd like a separate pen for it. The small one is, of course, for notes to yourself about who you've met. It's easy to keep in a front pant pocket or a jacket pocket or a coat pocket or something. And after you've met them, you know, "Hi, nice to meet you. This is great. Turn around. Jot down your little note." And it's just nice and easy to keep a little, even go to like a dollar store or something and pick up just one of those little tiny notepads. And then, of course, the big notepad is to take notes from the day.
A good idea.
Bring all the gear you want to bring. Well, I think that is the end of today's show. We're going to wrap it up. I'd like to thank our guests who called in, Keith Burtis and Tommy Valier. We had quite a few people in the chat room today, so thank you to all of you who stopped by today. And we'll be posting this to the PodCamp blog and podcast in the next day or so. So thank you very much. Thank you, Sean.
Thank you, Connie.
Now, there's an exciting new way to connect with your online friends all at the same time. It's called social conference calling. Use your phone or computer to start a discussion group or just a conversation. It's fun and it's free. Check it out at talkshoe.com. That's TALKSHOE.com.